The power of his genius supplied the deficiencies of the imperfect communications of the Hierophants, and he himself became a master and a revealer.
Listen, if my son is one of these people who, you know, sits down and gets a beer and watches football on a Sunday, if my son is one of these people, I will find an extremely elaborate way to, like, commit suicide in a very artistic way to demonstrate that, you know, I failed. You got the gun.
Check. One. Rambo. Kranzberg. All right. It's a pretty aggressive opener. And guess what? I'm going to lean into it in this episode. Welcome to Pepper for Your Steak. This is kind of a groundbreaker for me. This is the longest single monologue I've ever done. You know, I hem and haw, I zig and zag. I do a lot of crazy stuff here. But I'm trying to move into this long-form monologue as an experiment. I don't know many people who can open their subconscious and keep it cohesive. I know a handful. You know, and Russell Brand, would you please slow down? You're brilliant. Just talk more like the actor from Oppenheimer. And less like Speedy Gonzalez. Alrighty. Here we go. Let's hear from Joey Diaz and Lee Syatt first. We've got to get a little perspective. Maverick Matthews, Pepper for Your Steak.
Thursday's the 18th.
Is it?
Yeah, 420 is
when. Oh, you're right. You're right. My bad. Oh,
damn it. Right away, you're giving out fucked up dates and shit.
I'm fucked like, up.
The 17th. No, it's not the 17th.
Whatever Thursday is, the 18th.
The 18th. Well, you better pray that you even have a show.
Why?
Because Israel's launching tonight. They're going deep into the murky waters, and nobody wants them around either tonight or early tomorrow morning, dawn. Israel's going in.
You think that's going to, I hope it doesn't affect, I'm going like deep Western Mass. I don't think it's going to affect over here. You think
so? First fucking time Israel launches, it's going to affect everything tomorrow. Traffic, the weather, you know.
I shouldn't have paid my taxes.
I would have held out till May 25th. I would have paid the dime extra because you never know what could happen. There might not be a tax department tomorrow. We might be walking around like fucking Mel Gibson and Mad Max, stealing gasoline and stabbing people.
Okay, it's funny now. It's not going to be funny soon. Maverick Matthews, you're listening. You're listening. Hey, I'm a little deep too, okay? You're listening to Pepper for Your Steak. Apparently, we are on the precipice. No longer. We're not on the precipice. We are in the war. The new one. The big one. The constant one. The forever one. The one that George Orwell wrote about. This should come as no surprise. Those of us who study history and who know that the only way an empire survives is by waging war. I don't know why. It's just, you know, study history. That's all that happens over and over. That's the only way to make it work. And my personal opinion is that it has to, you have to have some kind of catalyst. And they have experimented with catalysts of pretending to go to space. Hey, we're going to go to, we're going to 10 trillion miles away to Mars. And we have a rover there. He's cruising around. We put a little robot car. You like robot cars? We got one there. He's got a camera. It just happens to look just like Phoenix. Hope you like it. There's only so many ways to expand the human experience. And so here we are. Thank you for being here. Let's get back to Joey Diaz and Lee Syatt. This is the check-in. This is a reincarnation of their podcast, which was so incredible. the church of what's happening now. I was a friend of that show. Anytime you hear him talk about the producer from Duck Dynasty in the early episodes, that was me. And then the show scared me. You know, they came to me and they're like, hey, you can't be on media without permission and we're going to kill you. We're going to do some Clinton stuff. You don't even know. Not really. I'm just kidding. Allegedly. They just said, hey, maybe don't do that. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do it. I became a little bitch. I was new. When you're new, it's hard to be strong. It's hard to be strong when you're new. But after you've humped a few miles, you can look people in the face and... and they see a kind of, it's like a pain strength. They see a pain strength in your eyes. And they go, maybe I don't want to, this guy's not a soft target. Not a soft target at all. madness in every direction. I kind of want to drop some Hunter Thompson in here. And I should. And I will. In the meantime, have some more Joey Diaz. This is what you should do if there's like a fallout, a nuclear fallout. I did watch Oppenheimer, which is a wonderful piece of propaganda. The birth of the nuclear weapon, timed perfectly to come out when they're trying to create the facade of another world war. And certainly, I don't mean facade as in it's all fake. I mean whatever you see on a television is not going to be what's happening there. That's all that matters. Maybe it be bigger. Maybe it be smaller. How is this any different than a video game or a choose your own adventure? How is this any different? And now I'm going to give you the biggest one. I think when cataclysms happen from space, like meteors landing on the planet, I think that's Mother Nature washing the dishes. I'm just planting that idea seed. Here we go. Joey Diaz talking about what you do. Tone Lee Syatt, if a bomb hits, what do you do, Lee?
Getting a bus with a bunch of homeless people and driving across the desert for the gasoline.
I wouldn't make it that far. I'd be dead immediately. I would be dead within the first day of that happening.
No.
Yes.
No. Nah, you put out all on your ears with cotton balls for the nuclear shit. Iodine. There's a bunch of stuff. You go deep, deep, deep. You get a bottle of Tang. You get some reefer. And you go deep, deep, deep in the bunker. You get some oxygen. I got some Russians. They taught me how to do it. They do that shit all the time over there. I met them at the gym. A couple months ago, we were talking about it. They're like, bomb, that don't scare us. We have system. Iodine, this, that, gasoline. We eat plastic chips, you know.
See, I think you're fucking with me. I think you're just trying to get me for when it happens. And you're going to call me, and I'm going to have gasoline in my ears, and I'm going to light on fire faster or something.
No, once it goes down, I'll have my friend call you, the fucking Russian, and tell you exactly what to do.
It's gonna be too late. Your hands with
cat litter, the whole fucking thing. So nobody's gonna make a mess with you. They can't smell you.
Don't answer the door.
And if you do, you don't know nothing.
I'll tell you what, these are the craziest conversations that are going on. The conversations going on in our country right now they're wild. They're wild, man. People talking about prepping, it is no longer like this weird outlier thing. Hey, what have you done to get ready in case we break into apocalyptic civil war regionally in places like California where they're cutting off children's dicks? Like, what? Eventually, somebody intelligent is going to say, maybe we should stop this, and if it has to happen by force, that's okay. I mean, I'm not promoting that. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying I'm surprised that this is already not happening. I'm blown away that it's gone as far as it has. You know? But it's out there. We're out there, you know? And interestingly enough, I just took a vacation to Hawaii, where I'm from. That's why I say it in that annoying way. And, you know, that culture has suffered a lot, just like every culture has suffered a lot under imperialism. My family's been out there since 1881. We were immigrants fleeing Europe, converted Jews who adopted Catholicism and moved to the islands off the coast of Portugal. And then eventually we were like, we need to get farther away from this. And so they sailed for 3.5 months in a single journey, sighting land, not landing, but sighting land one time in 3.5 months. Or maybe it was 2.5 months. Regardless, an obscene amount of time to spend on a big wooden boat in the middle of the ocean. But that's how badass people were back then. And now people bitch if they can't get their fucking latte cream. It's insane. And we are suffering right now from this cyclical abundance. Strongman, weak times, big guns, power, all that. You know all the narratives, the platitudes. You know those already. And yes, I get into some of these in my monologue. I tried to do like a free verse poetry jam here, slam out of my brain. And that's kind of what came out. So if you don't want to indulge it, that's cool. That's fine. But I think it is a worthy indulgence because I say some interesting shit that even surprised me. That's what this episode really is. It's just a weird monologue. However, it is the spawn of insane times. And if there's any takeaway from this, stop saying weird. Stop saying that's confusing. This is just so confusing. The deal with vaccines is so confusing. I bet they were doing their best in the beginning. I bet they really were. They just didn't have the information. Listen, this is not a place for dumb people. Turn this shit off, okay, if that made you mad. Go away. This is a place for people who know something is up, who are angry about it, but also realize that it's important to stay jovial. That's why I have so much comedic content in here. It's important to stay jovial. I realize that halfway through. It will destroy you. We are looking into the abyss. And everyone's like, maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe don't look into the abyss. And maybe bliss is better by being dumb. Yeah. But also, people have to make changes. And the ones who look at stuff, lose all their friends, stand up for what they believe, you know, and things that are in line with Mother Nature, guess what? You're probably going to get destroyed in the process, but you have to, like, we need martyrs. I don't want to be one. Nobody wants to be one. None of the podcasters in the truth movement want to be in this role. But we can't get this stuff off of our minds because we're terrified. And I don't believe in sitting around being afraid. I go for runs. I do fucking pull-ups and push-ups and throw a giant kettlebell around. I train with a gun. You know? I run scenarios through my head. I plan. I prepare. I do things. See, fear is only an indicator that you're unprepared. Because things that you are prepared for, you're not afraid of. That's it. That's all it means. You're unprepared. This is the unknown. And some of that is not, it is impossible to prepare for. So what you have to do is be accepting of change and accepting of dynamism, accepting of radical ideas that might get you through something. That's enough of that. Thank you for being here. Cool introduction. I have got a little bit of a song here for you because I was just in Hawaii. I talk a little bit about my Hawaii adventure. My family, having been out there for so long, we kind of have it all dialed in pretty sweet. We went down to a private access Hawaiian-only valley. The only people who are allowed to drive down to it are people who live in the state. It's one of the only beaches like that there. Everything else is public access. But because this road is so dangerous, because there are cars still on the side of the mountain, and I tried to get a picture of one, but we were driving by it so fast, and one of the kids was driving in my brother's lap. Go to my Instagram, by the way, if you want to see pictures of the Waipio trip. It is the_real_MaverickMatthews on Instagram. I know that's an annoying name, but you only have to type it in once. I am shadow banned, so type it in correctly or you won't find me. I would love to grow my following past supposedly 1,400 followers, even though I have imprints every month that are in the tens of thousands. It's what a wow, what an amazing mathematical anomaly. Regardless, I'm glad that you're here listening to this. If you're on a platform like Apple, I would recommend that you switch to one like Spotify or something less censored, and I'm going to do some censorship experiments in this episode. So look forward to that. Here's some music. It's All the Gold in the Sunset by Bob Schneider, an Austin artist. I came up with this guy. Never really knew him. I met him a couple times. I used to sell his guitarist weed, so his guitarist used to come hang out at my apartment. Probably during the period, not too far off when they were recording this album. I don't know the timeline here, but I spent a little time in the green room with these folks, essentially, back when he was dating Sandra Bullock. Not much. I was kind of a crazy person back then. But anyway, here is Bob Schneider, and go check him out. Not a paid promotion, just showing off some stuff you might want to check out. My brother, shout out to Ryan, definitely brought him back into my wheelhouse. And then we'll get into this dystopian State of the Union. You are listening to Pepper for Your Steak, and my name is Maverick Matthews.
All the gold in the sunset, and the diamonds on the cigarette. The gold in the sunset, it's all we'll ever need. The gold in the sunset, and diamonds on the cigarette. It's all we'll need to set ourselves free. Come on, let's get down. Come on, let's get down, y'all. Took a bear of superstition, brought him by the dead. Got inside my constitution, ate my whole damn head. Take me down to nowhere, that's where I belong. Keep it so beautiful, don't try and get me wrong. South Shore snake bites got me in the mood. Recently switched over to decaf on hate to be so rude. But I've been operating all night and I need a little quick relief. Release in the ocean with your shark-like teeth, yeah. All the gold in the sunset and diamonds on the sea. In the sunset, well, it's all we'll ever need. The gold in the sunset and diamonds on the cigarette. All we need to set ourselves free. Come on, let's get down, y'all. Oh, come on, let's get down, y'all. Let's get down.
So now you know. You can see every step that the elite have taken in their war to control this once great nation. You can see the steps that will be taken in the future. You can no longer pretend innocence. Your denial of the conspiracy will fall on deaf ears. This tape is part of the education that will give Americans the weapons needed in the coming months and years of hardship as the New World Order struggles to be born. Truths cannot be negated or shrugged away. The message is this. You must accept that you have been cattle and the ultimate consequence of being cattle, which is slavery, or you must prepare to fight and, if necessary, die to preserve your God-given right to freedom.
Hardcore, of course, this is William Cooper from the book Behold the Pale Horse. And if you haven't read that, it is now required reading, as is Animal Farm, 1984, The Hunger Games, etc., etc. You know, the collective unconsciousness is an amazing thing, but William Cooper gave birth to this book, and it cost him his life. You know, killed by a sheriff's deputy in his own home, shot in the head. Martyrs, don't be one. Just tell your friends what's going on so we can avoid all this nonsense. All right, here is the show music, and let's get into this. Pepper for your steak.
We thought we had something different here, you see. We live in both a very fragile and precious experiment in democracy, and we live in an empire that is experiencing profound decline.
Reptilian agenda. Okay, well, let's talk about the reptiles. So you're saying the reptilians are luring humans to, like, Hawaii, to vacation spots?
The news is there to scare white people. I've said this this life, you can't live the life everyone else lives. You're not going to be partying on the weekends. You're going to be performing on the weekends. You're not going to be watching the big game on a Thursday night because you'll be in a club. You have to have that mindset that you don't belong. You don't go to the rhythm of the rest of the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maverick Matthews, and you are listening to Pepper for Your Steak. Everyone who's read a little bit knows about the Chinese proverb, which is supposedly a curse: may you live in interesting times. Everybody's heard about this. But not everybody gets to live this curse like we are. See? That's a silver lining. Okay. So, in this episode, I'd like to tell you a few stories. I'd like to tell you a story that happened to me just yesterday. I also went to the Big Island of Hawaii to visit family. I'm going to tell you a story about that. Some insights. And I have some wonderful clips for you. Wonderful clips like that clip just now from Joey Diaz and Lee Syatt. Not a paid promotion. Just an aggregator of ideas. Joey obviously knows how to deal with this. Everyone's talking about what to do in case of anarchy and nuclear war, etc. They did a very good job of programming this into us. Thank you for the narrative. And I'm pretty sure the CDC's website still has comic books on how to defend yourself in the event of a zombie attack. The zombie narrative has been going on for a long time, and they haven't really brought that one back around yet, so I'm kind of excited to see what happens with the zombie narrative. But the point I'm making is, these are times that are obviously interesting. And going out to Hawaii, taking time out of my personal environment, going from a garbage city to a twinkling star in the middle of the Pacific. The energy is so different. The vibe, the feel of your daily life, the tone of everything. When I got back to Tampa, I could just feel that everything here was ratcheted up, and not in a good way. Hold on. I toyed with the idea of just coming on here and trashing Tampa. I'd like to, but that doesn't really serve any purpose unless it's funny. And I haven't figured out how to make it funny yet because I'm just tired of being in a city. I don't know why we fell for this city thing. It's more expensive. The food is shittier. People treat you very poorly. One of the main reasons I considered going on this rant was that just yesterday morning, as I was driving home to let my dog out, after taking my son to school, I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic near the airport. And usually this traffic is flowing pretty good, so something's going on. There's an accident or something. Turned out it was a car wreck. But I'm sitting there in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and this guy in like a gold Hyundai. He was like a textbook white frat guy with Ray-Bans. Thank you, Shelly. It wouldn't be a podcast if you didn't fucking randomly scratch your collar. All right, good. This guy tries to get, you know, switch lanes in front of me. And I'm already, you know, traffic's moving very slow, so I'm pretty choked up on the bumper in front of me. I usually give a lot of space. And I'm a very courteous driver. I pride myself on being that. I used to drive pretty slow, but conditions here require you to drive fast for safety. And this guy doesn't put his blinker on. He doesn't take a moment. He just starts coming into my lane in front of me. Aggressively. Like he's like the way that he moves around traffic is by forcing his way through places. And listen, anybody who knows me knows you can't force me to do stuff. I automatically, for whatever reason, get very contrarian when you try to do that. You have to sell things to me. Just like most good people who put their blinker on and say, may I please? I'm in favor of a polite society. That's why I want an armed society. If this guy knew that everybody had a handgun in their lap, which they do in Florida, but he didn't grasp that because he's obviously not from down there, because no one would have acted like this. This is how people get shot. And watch what he did. He tries once to get in, and he brings his car so close to my front bumper that I can't see it. Like, you can't see, it goes below the horizon line of the bumper. That's how close he came. And I'm like, that was like a couple inches. And then he backs away like, ooh, that didn't work, okay? Then he tries again, a second time, and I just choke up on the bumper in front of me. We're going a consistent 5 miles an hour now, and I deny him again. He gets even closer. And I make the decision right then. I'm going to let this guy hit me, and then I'm going to break him in half. And I just relax. I take a deep breath. Everything's cool. I'm the one in charge of this situation. I choke back up on the bumper again. He tries a third time, the most aggressive, very quickly, hard, like he's going to run into me. I just don't move. Calmly hold my ground. Then, while he's in that position trying to hit me or to nudge me or to not or to whatever, intimidate me into opening a gap for him, he rolls his window down. Now, naturally, as he rolls his window down, mine are already down. So I roll mine up, and mine is 3/4 of the way up when he spits on my car, fragments of which come in the window. And then zooms off. Now, there was a time in my life when this guy would have really regretted doing that. I would have made sure he did. I wouldn't have shot him or anything that dramatic. Although Florida has incredible laws. There's something like 14 rules here about people you can shoot with no legal penalty whatsoever. Only one that comes to mind right now is anyone who's in the process of committing a felony, you can shoot dead. Florida's an interesting place. Things are getting interesting. I'm so fucking tired of hearing that word. And I haven't been down here in Tampa long enough to know if this is normal behavior, but I can tell you that people here are fucking wild for it. They're out of their minds. They're super unintelligent. They're crazy narcissists. And they're just out to lunch, and most of them are drunks. The national pastime down here in Florida is going to the bar. There's nothing wrong with going to the bar, but you have to have a life. You know, a big, blossoming, blooming life. And if you don't have that, and you just have the bar, you're wasting the time in your body that another soul could have done something cool with. That's pretty disrespectful. Just my personal opinion. So this episode is kind of, an examination of this new station I'm trying to inhabit, which is, even if the world is flying apart, I'm just going to kind of chill. You know? I didn't react to the clown who was attempting to crash his car into mine. Even as spittle landed on my arm and my seat. I did yell at him and tell him that he was a pussy. But which one of us won? You know? I wiped the drop off, thought about diseases, and immediately decided that I should have pummeled that guy because that's a rapist. That guy kind of tried to rape me in traffic. Oh, by the way, this is a censorship check. If you're not hearing this word, it's because you're listening probably on Apple iTunes, which now runs everything through an AI, pretending that they would like to write a transcript. But really, they're just looking for things to censor. And then watch this. The word R followed by the letter A and then the letter P and then the letter E. You can't say it, and I don't think anymore. I hear it get censored out of every other podcast. And if there's some sound or something over it in this one, I'm not putting that there. Rape. This guy tried to rape me in traffic. That's the kind of guy who's going to act the same way in the bedroom. That's a complete psychopath who spit on my car. Now, Daniel Tosh has a joke about this, I'm pretty sure. And I think it was like a guy who had a mouthful of sunflower seeds and spit them in his roof. So because he has a joke and that happened to me, you can assume that these kinds of things happen. There are psychopaths driving around just being fucking insane. Now, I was just talking about how I went home to Hawaii and I thought a lot about this as I was sitting there in traffic. I was like, that would never happen on the Big Island. It's not because people are nicer. It's because there's nowhere to escape to. And inevitably, I would see your gold car again because it's a small island. And this person would be buried in the jungle within a week or, more likely, tied to a rock and thrown off a cliff into the ocean. You know, never to be seen again, eaten by the sharks. I used to hear this statistic, and I don't hear it much anymore, but I'm going to tell it because I definitely repeated the shit out of it, and I think it's true. Hawaii, the island of Hawaii, and the state of Hawaii, according to this legend, have the lowest murder rate in the country, but the highest missing persons rate. And everybody in Hawaii who hears that goes, oh yeah, because of the fucking ocean. You just put a body in there and it's chomp chomp city. You know, bye-bye. This guy would never operate in traffic like that because you know that. They run people out of town. And it's because the Hawaiians are very close to their ancestral roots. You know, they were performing ritual human sacrifice and ritual cannibalism there as recently as like 1813, I think the Temple of Ku was consecrated and can't remember the name of that town, Kauaihai region of the Big Island. You also couldn't get away with that kind of behavior up in Sandpoint, Idaho, where my ranch was. You can only get away with this kind of behavior in cities. One of the things I want to do on this show, as usual, is kind of document what's happening in our country right now. The narrative is going around about an electromagnetic weapon of some kind taking out part of the power grid, or a cyber attack taking out part of the power grid. That's a big narrative going around. Of course, the Civil War movie from Obama, everyone seems to be talking about, and that movie starts out with a crashed power grid because of supposedly a cyber attack. I am to understand that that happens on September 24th. I know a former sheriff's deputy or sheriff. I don't know what kind of, I don't know anything about sheriffs, but I know a former sheriff or trooper of some kind, cop, former military veteran, big dude, very respectful, God-fearing, good man, takes care of his family. Amazing guy. And I can't tell whether or not he considers that a hard date, September 24th, I think, because he keeps telling me, September 24th. And I don't know if it's because he messes with me, because he knows I'm a truther. But that's the date they give in that movie. How's that for some predictive programming where they just start giving out exact dates? If you don't think a good portion of this country is going to be paying real close attention on that day, it may be sleight of hand. Something might happen very significantly right before or after that. You know, remember the billionaire submarine that covered up the fact that something like 40,000 of Jeffrey Epstein's files between him and Merrill Lynch were deleted? Oops! After a Freedom of Information request. That's what that billionaire tin can submarine thing was really about. It was covering the news cycle so that you didn't learn that the FDA approved biologically engineered chicken to be put on the shelves in the United States, which it is right now. And if you're not paying attention, you could be eating laboratory-grown chicken right now. It's in there. It got approved that week. What a coincidence. What else to catch up on? Hawaii was an amazing trip. I got to go to a private valley. Not much in Hawaii is private. They did a really good job protecting public lands. Every beach is public. All beaches have to have public access. I'm not sure what the actual rules are on Waipio Valley, but you're not allowed to drive down anymore. You're not allowed to drive down anymore unless you have a Hawaii ID, unless you're local. And you have to have a four-wheel drive truck. There are all these camping spots with little fire rings neatly spaced out in this pristine valley where people are growing massive amounts of pot and taro and all kinds of other stuff. And I was sitting down there thinking, you know, being a city, it's going to be pretty tricky to get out of into a place like that. In fact, it's going to be pretty unlikely. Because things are just going to clog up pretty quick. And it was then that I began to go through my list of things. Becoming a prepper now is no longer considered de rigueur. Excuse me, it is considered de rigueur. Rigueur required? I think that means required. You know, being a prepper is no longer considered super fringe. In fact, it never should have been. I mean, I guess you could really only call somebody a prepper if they're getting a little nuts. I have 10 million rounds of ammunition. That's a, you know, that's excessive. But having some ammunition and a gun and a plan to get water and stored food seems pretty responsible these days. Seems like if you don't have those things, you're kind of putting your head in the sand. Now, I live down here in God's waiting room, Florida. All these old boomers just waiting around. Pissing their money away on dumb shit. Oh, it's so hard to watch. Just non-creative people who have lots of money and aren't doing anything cool for their tribe. You know, I would just be styling my tribe out. I'd create a space where people could always come and be. It's very strange. It's a very strange place filled with alligators and snakes and death and super ignorant Americans who try to spit on your car when, you know, they won't let you rape them in traffic. It's a weird, it's fucking weird times, I guess. What are you going to do? Okay. As much as I wanted to keep that brief, I also didn't want to make it canned. How do you do anything original on podcasts anymore? Well, I can say like this, mofos. Let's think about Hawaii and space and Joey Diaz, Joe Rogan, and Hunter S. Thompson. And William Cooper. And Sam Tripoli. And all the people who help us figure out what's going on. Proofs of a Conspiracy by John Robison. Some of these quotes are a little upsetting. I'm not going to lie to you. This is a heavier episode, so if you're in a fragile psychological state, you know, if you have somewhere to be, which you don't, you know, unless you're a doctor waiting on a surgery, that's the only excuse, really. I don't care about if you're a fucking trial lawyer or a psychiatrist. I have such disdain for the fake professions now because I know what they all entail. I've examined all of them so closely. We're fucking faking most of everything we do as human beings. We've created a special, special kind of madness. And it's so painful to endure sometimes that now when I see some kind of cyclical natural disaster, I sort of feel like that's Mother Nature just washing the dishes. You know, obviously the Christians have the flood myth. You know, all these Abrahamic religions have the flood thing. Well, yeah, obviously that happened. But it wasn't God striking anything down. It was Mother Nature washing the sheets. And it was probably from some kind of asteroid hitting one of the polar caps and melting a bunch of stuff and rising the ices again there. And then they had the refreeze over there, but there was warmer and things changed, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm sick of the global warming. Just shut the fuck up. What is the opposite of an ice age? Every one of these models is based off the last couple hundred years, not off the last couple hundred thousand. What other things have gotten my goat? See, I'm finally getting started here. Just now getting moving. Getting the blood flowing. What else is getting my goat? Electric cars are totally a scam and a hoax and fake. The climate change narrative is about getting more money out of you and clamping people down in 15-minute cities. Digital currency so that they can turn it on and off. This is a way to usher in... Bah, bah, bah. I read the other day that there is 5.5 pounds of copper in a traffic camera, although I doubt this is actually true. I love that there are people posting memes that are encouraging folks to destroy traffic cameras. I think the idea of beep is a cool bumper sticker I might start putting on a bunch of cars, maybe. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm going to bleep that out. You just have to start looking for bumper stickers. What else? The gender narrative is a lie. Of course, there are two genders. Luciferianism is literally the ego believing that it has the capacity to decide what is good and true rather than observing Mother Nature. That's where all this evilness comes from. What else? The Brotherhood, also known as... the Illuminati, also known as worshippers of Baphomet, also known as Luciferians, are the ones who have been manipulating the direction of the United States for so long in an ultimate plan. Proof of this is in the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which, you know, 78 of 82, something like that, of the signers were Freemasons. Freemasonry is a reincarnation of the Knights Templar. Or at least it was taken over to be that. Let's see. People who forwarded this agenda included Francis Bacon through the New Atlantis, which was intentionally not finished, supposedly. Very Orwellian. Like, hey, here's what we're going to do. Revelation of the Method kind of thing. What else? They got their worshiping from Solomon, Temple of Solomon. And when they went back to Europe, you know, the Templar Knights became extremely wealthy. And This was supposedly because they had the ability to deal with non-corporeal entities. What does that mean, Maverick? They could talk to demons. And maybe also angels. Supposedly both. And ask them to do things and get their favor. And ask them about where minerals were or treasures or whatever. And then they got super smart. Maybe they just were given psychological technology. Supposedly, the Templar Knights were the first people to issue letters of credit so that they didn't have to carry cash. And the other Templar Knights would be like, oh, this is a Templar check. We know we can cash it. Supposedly, they invented that system. Really, there's evidence that it goes all the way back to Babylon and probably for hundreds of thousands of years we don't have records of because the Earth is, you know, a giant grinder. But they invented that stuff. They became very wealthy, the Templar Knights. And then King Philip tried to get rid of them because the Vatican saw them as a threat. The Vatican, the Molochian pedophilic, satanic. See, satanic and Luciferian are not the same things. The worship of Lucifer is the worship of knowledge. It's the worship of the ego because the ego believes itself to be greater when it acquires more knowledge. In a way, you could say that philosophy is kind of Luciferian, but because the word means love of knowledge, philos, sophia. And so it's actually strange that it's possible that Pythagoras and maybe even the Christian Jesus promoted a Luciferian doctrine by promoting a love of this life more than a love of nature, like individuality over nature. It's going to cause a lot of conflict and fights, but that's just proof that people are holding on too tightly to dogma. The world's a strange place, you know, and the Templar Knights took their treasures and hid them. There's good evidence that they shepherded them through the British Isles to North America. And I have this on pretty high authority, actually. And Freemasons here were basically in charge of shepherding that money around. Tremendous wealth. It paid for the colonization of America. It paid for the growth, the westward expansion. You know, how do you think we bought all these things? Where do you think America's money came from in the beginning? How do you think they paid for a civil war? Supposedly, this same money was used to pay for the first civil war because that was the plan. Because wars galvanize people. They bring populations together in ways, you know, that are useful to the governing body. If you have a civil war, then all the agents of challenge are going to come out of the woodwork and you're going to be able to identify each one of them. Put them on a list. Those are the bad guys. This was the birth of Jesse James, Billy the Kid. These were people who were just protecting their farms, so to speak. Go look into those stories. I don't have to tell them here. Those started out as good kids. Just doing good stuff, you know? And they both were Freemasons, secretly. A lot of people don't know that. And they both faked their death a year apart. A lot of people don't know that. And they both ended up settling in Texas, Freemasons, going to lodges, because they were in charge of protecting the gold. And yeah, they could have been bank robbers, of course. Yes, they were hustling, whatever, cattle thieves, blah, blah, blah. The times were rough back then. What if we do have an apocalyptic period in our country right now? I do believe this is going to happen. And there's going to be like a little civil war. There's going to be two sides or three sides or maybe five sides. Could be like California versus Texas, you know, California versus Nevada, and then Texas versus Mexico. And, you know, there could be all kinds of conflicts that break out. But afterwards, what if they go, okay, everybody's a citizen again, which is this is what they did after the Civil War, you know. They said everybody who was fighting against us being a country, everybody who was fighting for the Confederacy, we forgive you. You have amnesty. And you could be a citizen again with no penalty just because we need society to get back to normal. They did that. But they made exceptions. They said, unless you were one of these Southern rebels, part of Quantrill's Raiders, or, you know, whatever these groups were down there. A bunch of them. They did not pardon those people. Jesse James fell into that category. So what option does he have to become an outlaw for the rest of his life? Well, people recognize talent. And the people operating behind the scenes in the United States, who've always operated behind the scenes, who've always funded both wars, the people who sent the steel to Nazi Germany to build all the major constructions they did to facilitate that genocide, all that steel came from us. You know? The Middle East, what's happening over there was designed to do this. It was designed to facilitate this war. There were papers written on this 100 years ago. Seek them out. Go read. Don't get angry at me if you don't believe this. What you shouldn't do is go to Snopes ever again. How about you go read some books? I don't know why I get angry at my own audience. I'm not angry at my audience. I'm angry at the people listening in, who maybe for the first or second time, who don't belong here. It is so funny. These are the narratives, folks. These are they. These are the narratives. If the Templar treasure really was shepherded to North America by the Freemasons and continues to finance the Luciferian agenda, which is what I allege to be the case, allegedly, this was outlined pretty well in Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse. And then he was shot by a sheriff's deputy. A lot of bad cops. 20%-ish is what I hear. Because the profession would naturally attract psychopaths. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I know a lot of great cops. And I've also met some scary ones. You know, there's an old expression that says, if you can't beat them, join them. And right now, there may not be a lot of people joining the police. But if we have a civil war, guess what? Their fucking enlistment's going to go through the roof. Because a lot of Americans are going to be smart enough to go, you know what? I'd rather have them not kick my door in for whatever reason, so I'm going to become one of them. That's going to be one of the best ways to protect yourself, is just joining, you know, the stormtroopers. Joining the, I don't know, I think that was the name of a specific kind of Star Wars trooper. I don't know if they're all called that. You know, there are all these guys wearing white armor and stuff. Ah! Okay, sorry. We cleaned it up. All these guys wearing white pajamas. White jammies. Chemises. Listen, it is an interesting choice to make, joining, you know. It gets dangerous because your boss is ultimately the government. And if there's a through line here, it's that power becomes dangerous, right? And the government has ultimate power. And they're demanding us to pay tribute in a lot of different ways repeatedly, financially, psychologically. Things have gotten real complicated. So to digress and kind of tie this up, this crazy monologue, this blitzkrieg of the mind. Everyone should sit down and go watch 1917. Not that I think the movie's amazing, but it kind of explores a few ideas ethically about war. The first turn at the end of the first act. Second act, I can't remember when it happens, but it's the real turn in the movie. I think it's the end of the first act. It's unexpected, and that's exactly the tone of war. You bring an effort to be peaceful, and you're punished for it. The human condition sometimes gets into rage, and countries are just an expression of what we are. Except people know that, and then they have lots of money, and then they just kind of run it. And in that sense, we will never escape tyranny. We will never escape the pyramid system where you really don't know what that eye is at the top. It's not a coincidence that you know, that's right in front of us all the time. All the symbology, all the symbols, the reinforcement that has gone back since the beginning of time, since country started. It's whoever holds the purse. Whoever pays the bill gets to call the shots. It's just that they make sure that they're always the one paying the bill. I'm going to leave this rant, this monologue, with one idea. I kind of tiptoed and touched on almost everything. You know, I'm kind of explaining everything here. It's a weird state of the union. State of the dystopian union. Oh, a couple more things I want to mention here. Sorry. They discovered something like 240 illegal grow operations in like one northeastern state. I think it was like Maine or Vermont or something. 240 Chinese marijuana grow operations where they were using Chinese people who had immigrated here as slaves to grow the weed. If you look online, you can actually find like 911 calls or notes passed on to authorities that are like, help, we're being kept as slaves. They're making us grow weed. God knows what they're going to do to that weed. Enjoy weed now. Allegedly in Hawaii, I considered it. And I can tell you that isolation is the best medicine. But they'll get to that stuff eventually, too. Even Waipio Valley. Nothing will escape. And that's why I guess it's time. Like, someone's going to do the dishes. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's Mother Nature. Maybe it won't happen at all. Things will get exponentially more insane. I'm looking forward to it. Let's do some quotes. We're an hour in. This is the new pepper for your... It's always going to be... This is the... Hey, do you need legal advice on a car accident you just had? You're in the wrong place. This is Cranston and Cranston Law has been operating for 6,000 years, and we have the most money for any injury. We can give you a chart of injuries. We'll tell you how many dollars they're worth. You know, I'm pretty sure I actually heard law firms doing this kind of stuff. Allegedly. Listen, maybe just pay the judge. Everything will be erratic anyway. Not predictable. They're people. Not magic people. Just regular ones who are crazy too. All right, moving on. Cranston injury law.
Was brittle bones? That was her pronoun. So I can't think of anything more narcissistic than possessing of a pronoun. Okay, think about that. That's the equivalent of giving yourself your own nickname, right? Do you know what a piece of shit you have to be to give yourself your own nickname?
I can unequivocally assure you that Maverick Matthews is a nom de plume that was given to me. No one should ever give themselves their own nickname. Right, Bert Kreischer? Yeah, that's Sam Tripoli, my boy from Tinfoil Hat Podcast, along with Johnny Woodard and Xavi Guerrero, also known as... I was going to make up some crazy nicknames. Also known as Sweet Sugar Tits. Or something like that. Love those guys at Tinfoil Hat. I got another quote here. Pretty rowdy. Kind of rowdy. Pretty rowdy.
even go lucid. Like, I didn't try to control it or move around. I just let the dream play out. But I realized it was a dream and I still didn't wake up. That's a rare thing, man,
for me. I'll eat the pills just for that.
Yeah.
Like, I have dreams. I have fucking crazy dreams. But I am totally lucid inside my dreams. Like, I'll have dreams that I'm reading something and I'll go, wow, that's so funny that I'm reading something because nothing's there. In the dream, I'll think this. Nothing's there and my mind's making up these words, but I'm still reading them. That's so interesting. I had a dream one time that me and Elvis walked into his hotel room and there were four dudes butt-fucking, right? And I...
What?
Just hear me out.
Were they werewolves?
Just, that might be one of the best sentences ever created. I had a dream that I was with Elvis and we walked into his dressing room and there was four dudes butt-fucking, .. Now hear me out.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is how Bert Kreischer began his career on Joe Rogan. This is some OG Joe Rogan. Brian Redban, Joe Rogan, and Bert Krishna. Kranz Berkner. Tampa's own. Tampa's own. Brent Kranzberg. Everybody knows about the very large and rotund Brent Kranzberg, Bert Kreischer. You can drive around Tampa and see Kreischer University everywhere. It's probably the same guy. Also, I heard that basically like every third marina belongs to him, something like that. Brent Cranston. But here he is talking about an epiphany he had in a dream with Elvis and some humus. Humu humu, nuku nuku, super homo.
It gets weirder. They're throwing up in Burger King cups, just fucking each other. And then I swear to you when I say this, I fucking shut the door and I looked at Elvis. I go, what the fuck's going on in your room? And you know what he said to me? What? It's your dream, baby. Oh, fucking loosen his shit, right? So I wake up. I'm like, wake up, check my dick, make sure it's hard. And then I'm like, do you know what really flipped me out? You know what really flipped me out?
What?
Not that the guys were butt fucking, right? That didn't bother me.
They didn't ask.
No, it was the product placement. Like, what the fuck did Burger King do to get in that dream? Like, how the fuck did Burger King slide in that fucking dream?
What if they figured it out and you just don't know that there's a way to interject advertising into your dream?
Oh my god! Fuck,
could you imagine
Burger King in the future now? It's like, I got Bert Kreischer's dream about the Elvis and the butt fucking. Ha ha.
And I'm not saying that they can do this. All I'm saying is that, like, Bert Kreischer thinks they can do this. One of the original... He tries to pretend he's not a conspiracy theorist, but that whole group I'm pretty adjacent to, and I know that they know what's going on. You know, the BFing between men. Very different than BFing between men and women. Anyway, let's not get too many people against me. We just started... Okay, I have a couple more crazy quotes, crazy things here, and then we're going to wrap this up. This is kind of like the fireworks at the end, I guess. End of the long rant. So here are a few things from the book Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. Of course, this was a seminal work of a very... famous work of conspiracy theory, of truth, of whistleblowerdom from a man who worked in intelligence. There's a plan. You don't know it, but it's legit and huge. But actually, it hasn't been that hidden. You could actually find it in the narrative throughout history. It's always been there. And of course, guess what? It's what you're about to hear comes from the 1970s, but it actually sounds just like Q. Amazing, they've been pushing the same propaganda narrative in different ways. So listen to this heavy stuff from William Cooper talk about Behold a Pale Horse, talking about sort of the end of days of the American Empire. And tell me if it resonates with anything that's happening now and if it feels like anything that might be happening now. So this might be kind of, you might think of this as our final moment of thought in this show. Okay, pepper for your steak.
The fact that such a population control was even contemplated confirmed the worst fears of those who had participated in the 1957 study. War was put on the back burner to simmer, but may become a reality. In the meantime, something else had to be done that would absolve the decision makers of guilt and place the blame on those who did not lead clean lives. Something that could be blamed upon Mother Nature. What was needed was the bubonic plague or some other horrible but natural disease. The answer came from Rome. Several top secret recommendations were made by Dr. Aurelio Pacei of the Club of Rome. He advocated that a plague be introduced that would have the same effect as the famous Black Death of history. The chief recommendation was to develop a microbe which would attack the autoimmune system and thus render the development of a vaccine impossible. The orders were given to develop the microbe and to develop a prophylactic and a cure. The microbe would be used against the general population and would be introduced by vaccine. The prophylactic was to be used by the ruling elite. The cure will be administered to the survivors when it is decided that enough people have died. The cure will be announced as newly developed when in fact it has existed from the beginning. This plan is a part of Global 2000. Funding was obtained from the United States Congress under House Bill 15090, passed in 1969, where $10 million was given to the Department of Defense's 1970 budget. Testimony before the Senate committee revealed that they intended to produce a synthetic biological agent, an agent that does not naturally exist and for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. Within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organisms. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease.
Wow. And now certainly a lot of coincidental concepts being played with here. Essentially, you can hear William Cooper breaking down like a beta version. We make a disease, we put it out to the general public, but we have an antidote, but we don't tell them that. And we use it to manipulate them. Okay, that's like beta one version. Beta two version might be like, okay, what if there isn't even a disease? What if we just rebrand some diseases that already exist and say, that way we don't even have to come out with our own secret, you know, serum to protect ourselves, okay? And what if we can just sell it to the general public based on the idea of hysteria and that doesn't even have to be a new disease? It could be a disease that's been around forever. Okay, and then version three. What if we take a disease that's been around forever and make it horrible and we torture puppies and we do all kinds of horrific shit just so that we can make sure we can inflict the maximum amount of pain upon society? Does that sound like some Luciferian shit we could get into? Oh, yeah. America. All right. Version four. How about we just inject everyone with poison and tell them it is going to help save them from the disease, but really it's giving them diseases. Basic yet effective. You should go read Gerald Massey from the 1700s if you find any of this offensive about vaccines. Because in the 1700s, Gerald Massey talks about the abomination of vaccines and how they're a plague on society and just a scam. He talks about this in the 1700s. Nothing is new. Listen to all this Q stuff. Well, they're going to suspend the Constitution and da-ba-dee-dee-ba-dee-do. Guess what? It's not because these people were crazy. It's because this is what they've been trying to do, maybe unsuccessfully, maybe successfully. All you have to do is look at, you know, SARS, MRSA, swine flu, all these, you know, whatever, West Nile virus, they were trying so hard to get something to catch, and finally it caught fire. It's like a dummy trying to light a fire in the woods with wet kindling and wet everything with no skills. That's all these people are. And I had to wait until over an hour to say my piece here. It's at the end. No one's going to make it, but I know it's still out there, so I can say I did it. I'm glad to everyone who's still indulging this. Let's do one more quote from Behold a Pale Horse.
Sir Julian Huxley said, "Overpopulation is, in my opinion, the most serious threat to the whole future of our species." The project, called MK Naomi, was carried out at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Since large populations were to be decimated, the ruling elite decided to target the undesirable elements of society. Specifically targeted were the Black, Hispanic, and homosexual population. The poor homosexuals were encouraged on the one hand and scheduled for extinction on the other. The African continent was infected via smallpox vaccine in 1977. The vaccine was administered by the World Health Organization. According to Dr. Robert Strecker, without a cure, the entire Black population of Africa will be dead within 15 years. Some countries are well beyond epidemic status. The United States population was infected in 1978 with the hepatitis B vaccine. Dr. Wolf Zmunis, the ex-roommate of Pope John Paul II, was the mastermind behind the November 78 to October 79 and March 80 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Centers for Disease Control in New York, San Francisco, and four other American cities. He loosed the plague of AIDS upon the American people. The gay population was infected. The ads for participants specifically asked for promiscuous homosexual male volunteers. Whatever causes AIDS was in the vaccine. The vaccine was manufactured and bottled in Phoenix, Arizona. Many other population controls have been promulgated. The reduction of the world's population to workable levels has been virtually assured. It is only a matter of time.
Or so the whistleblowers were convinced back then. You know, that's a pretty amazing statement. Here's how, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to be on the record saying this stuff. It's terrifying. But I've actually known about the story for over probably two decades. You can do the research. There was one study of 1,500 gay men for that hepatitis vaccine, and every single one of them ended up contracting HIV and going on to spread it. It's super obvious where it started. The only way you can be in opposition to these ideas is if you have your head in the sand and you have ideological differences as to like the meaning of whether or not the government is intentionally infecting people. And yet people won't turn their head about the Tuskegee experiments where they intentionally infected and pretended to treat a bunch of African Americans with syphilis, you know, and, you know, God knows how many others. Go look at the number of, and this is my final alleged, go look at the number of serial killers in our country at any given time. The FBI states that on record it's somewhere around 50 serial killers, just murdering people over and over at any given time. And then compare that to serial killer rates around the world. They don't exist. And that's because these are literally being cultivated in facilities as experiments. Chaos is our main export as America. And this podcast, more than any other, has probably just put me in danger. So I need to go on the record and say I would never self-harm. And I would never harm anybody else. That has to be on the record, but I'm still scared to put this stuff out. I'm tiptoeing into the edge of darkness, not because I want to be fancy or get attention, but because I really do believe people need to wake up and see what has been going on for so long. This book, Behold the Pale Horse, was written in like the 60s and late 60s, early 70s. You know, even if it came out in the 80s, the data really refers to stuff happening in the 60s and 70s. MK Naomi sounds a lot like MK Ultra. And by the way, MK stands for mind control, but control spelled with a K. Why? Because that's how you spell it in German. Where the preeminent mind control scientists came from, because they came from a background of trauma-based mind control, which is obviously the most effective, because guess what? A human being wants to escape more than anything else. It's pain and suffering. And so they'll do anything. And that's how all mind control within intelligence agencies work. It's leverage, it's pain and suffering and evil. And just talking about it puts me at risk. Why would I risk this? To put it down on the record so that hopefully my son can learn from it and avoid it. And that hopefully some other people can learn, can stay away and just choose to not be involved in maybe things that could get them millions of dollars, but also get them used. So that's the takeaway from this episode. You are here to choose a forest for rest and recuperation and beauty and the whittling of sticks and the thinking about trees. I know this is where I'm going to be. And looking at the water and boiling water for coffee and thinking about space and birds and having simple, clean meals. You can choose between that or the madness of a city where you get a social credit score and you have to worry about a digital currency. Guess what? If you live in a tiny community out in the, what are we going to call it? The boundary zones? Yeah. The outlier zones, the boundary zones, the boundary, the borderlands. If you live in the borderlands, you can just trade with your neighbors. You don't have to worry about the digital currency. So move to the borderlands. This message brought to you by Underground Borderland Radio. Maverick Matthews broadcasting live from Pepper for Your Steak. Thank you for being here. Go visit maverickmatthews.com and please follow me at @_real_MaverickMatthews on Instagram. And there will be tickets in my bio soon for live speaking engagements. Come see me and ask me some questions. I love you very much. Maverick Matthews, Pepper for Your Steak.
I now reverently turn out the light. It is finished. Good night, Harry.